Today in the studio, I have with me Gabe Weiss, who is the president of the Yarmouth Education Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the overall educational experience of students in the Yarmouth School Department. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
So you live in my hometown. I obviously benefited from a Yarmouth education, and my children benefited from and are benefiting from a Yarmouth education. Tell me why you got involved.
Education is important to me. My parents are both teachers, and so I grew up in an academic family. And so when I moved to Yarmouth, I was looking to get involved and do some kind of community service, and found out about the Yarmouth Education Foundation, met with the executives of the foundation and just really hit it off and thought that the mission was a wonderful one. And so I just volunteered my time initially, and then was asked to join the board, and then a few years later asked to become the president.
This is a relatively young foundation, as education foundations go.
That's right. I think we're in our sixth year now. So we still have one founder who's on the board and a few other founders who are still involved. The founders are still around town in Yarmouth. And they all have children who are still in the school system. So it's nice to be able to actually see these people who really did all the hard work to get it off the ground. And it really is doing well.
You and I were just talking about the most recent fundraiser, which is the Blue Jean Ball.
Correct.
Is there a different name? I want to make sure we get it right for the people who want to go next year.
It historically has always been the Blue Jean Ball, the idea being that this is Maine, this is Yarmouth, and so we want to do something casual, not too fancy. Don't want people to feel like they have to get dressed up. But it is our big fundraiser. It is our only fundraiser event of the year. This year we called it the Blue Jean Disco because it was a disco theme and we had Motor Booty Affair play as our band.
And you said you managed to get 280 bodies into the MVETS hall.
That's right. We almost hit the 300 person capacity. So we had a really successful event. I think we grossed almost $70,000. I'm not sure what the net came out to be. But a lot of people. We had a silent auction with a lot of heavy bidding. And really it was good to see everyone turn out from the community.
What types of initiatives has the Education Foundation spearheaded or gotten behind in the past for the school system?
We've done a wide variety of things, ranging from bringing iPads to classrooms in the kindergarten and first grade, to bringing artists in residence to the high school. A big one that we are just funded last year is a shellfish upweller. So that's a structure that essentially cultivates clams, and it's down at the town landing. And so we have students who are studying the clams, their growth cycle, and then we'll be reintroducing them into the clam flats of Yarmouth.
Now that's interesting and unique. I was aware of the artist in residence, and I think the iPads is a great idea. How did you come up with the shellfish upweller?
So this is really our great teachers in the Yarmouth School. I mean, we depend on them to bring forward interesting and innovative grant ideas. The teachers who brought this one forward are Morgan Cuthbert and Jay Harrington. They've actually gotten a lot of press with this particular grant. But, they came up with the idea. They really feel passionately about the Maine ecosystem and the problems that have been introduced by green crabs. And so they are trying to find ways to study these things, teach the students about them, and also maybe even eventually provide ideas for solutions for Yarmouth and for Maine.
I believe that Morgan Cuthbert was a Teacher of the Year within the last couple of years.
That's right. I think he was a finalist this past year for Teacher of the Year, selected for Cumberland. That's right.
You have children in the school system?
I have two. I have two boys. One is in kindergarten and the other one is in third grade.
At the same time, you managed to graduate from Hamilton College and you have law degrees from UMaine School of Law and the Pantheon Sorbonne University in Paris. And you've been you are an in-house corporate attorney at WEX. You've been living and working in Boston, London, Paris. So somehow you managed to come out of your educational background okay?
Yes, somehow I did, and I think that still mystifies some people. My parents were academics, both teachers at Colby College. So I was raised in an environment where I was expected to perform in school and to push myself and to do extra reading and work hard. That is not always the case. I had great friends, still do, in Central Maine, whose parents just didn't hold education in such high esteem. And so I guess I would say I'm one of the exceptions to the rule. Although I will say that the education I got at Messalonskee High School was excellent. They have a great arts department, and I always felt very happy and supported there. I just think there is a much higher concentration of that kind of opportunity in places like Yarmouth.
Well, I agree with you. As someone who's lived in Maine all of her life and worked with patients really all over the state, I think that there's an interesting combination of things that one needs in order to move forward educationally. And it's not, and it is parents, and there is also the kind of the cultural and educational milieu, and it's I think you can do well in lots of different settings. So, but it is a little easier in places like Yarmouth. One of the things that I think about a lot actually is that we have interesting pockets of really significant wealth in parts of the state, and then other parts of the state not so much. And having grown up in Yarmouth, I really value that we have this great education, but I know that we have a significant advantage because places like Yarmouth, Cape Elizabeth, Kennebunk, there's just more money to be put into this. So I don't know if that's a question so much as like a statement. You know, if you've got Messalonskee that maybe doesn't have the people, the same type of demographic, it's an uphill road, I would guess.
Absolutely, and I've actually had the same thoughts. I mean, I think that, as I said, I was very lucky in, you know, the particular nature of my parents' profession and the opportunities that allowed me. And as I said, that was kind of the exception to the rule up there. Whereas in a place like Yarmouth, you really do have, you know, many more highly educated and wealthy professionals who are able to bring their kids to Europe and expose them to that so that maybe they do have an interest in getting a law degree in Paris eventually or something. If there were one thing that I would really like to see the Yarmouth Education Foundation do, it would be to figure out a way to provide opportunities for students who are less advantaged. And, you know, Yarmouth, as concentrated as it is with, you know, the families that I was just describing, it still is diverse. There still is an island community. And in fact, there have been a lot more recent immigrants to the U.S. moving up to Yarmouth. And so I think that there is a need, an increasing need. You know, the way we operate is we make grants based on applications that are made to us. So we don't just go out and decide where to deploy the funds that we raise. But what I would really love to see is for someone to come forward with grants, you know, maybe something to do with English as a second language, or other opportunities that really are geared toward helping those less fortunate. We've had discussions at the board level about, you know, is there an opportunity for us to somehow use our funds to help other communities. Now, that's obviously not part of our core mission, but if there were a way to just give back to some other places in Maine that don't have these opportunities, that would be wonderful.
I think that you raise a really important point, and having lived in Yarmouth off and on for decades, I mean, you're right. It's not all doctors and lawyers and high income earning people. I mean, there's a broad range of people. And sometimes I believe that people who live in Yarmouth who don't have parents who are making a lot of money, I think sometimes it can be really hard for them, and they can feel really disadvantaged within that school system. So it sounds like that's a discussion that you've been having recently at the Education Foundation level.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
What is it about your background in law that makes you interested in this?
Well, I don't know if it's the background in law necessarily, although law is highly academic pursuit, so I've just done a lot of school, and so in that sense, I know about education systems. I've also spent part of my educational career, academic career, in Europe, so I have that perspective as well. And again, you know, growing up the son of two professors, it's just a big part of me. I think that more what it is that the legal profession in Maine, especially when I first moved back to Maine, I was working at one of the law firms in town. The law firms in Maine, I think, do a wonderful job getting their associates involved in the community. Before I came back to Maine, I was working at large New York law firms where the expectation was just to sit at your desk and bill as many hours as possible. We were not made aware of opportunities in the community, and we were not encouraged to go out and get involved. Whereas when I started at the law firm in Maine, it was made clear to me right away that I needed to go find organizations, boards to join, and that was really a part of my work. And so being given that encouragement and the opportunity to go out and find what in the community looked like a good community service endeavor for me was really just such a great opportunity. I was able to, you know, do a little looking into what was in Yarmouth and found the Education Foundation, and it was just a good situation, I think.
Now, as the president of the Yarmouth Education Foundation and previously working on the board, what have you been surprised by? What have you learned that you really didn't think that you would learn going into it?
Well, I've learned first that you know, it's a very competitive world, and school systems outside of Maine and outside of the U.S. Really are pushing the limits of education, and we can always be doing more. So when we get applications for grants in the STEM field, you know, biology, those, you know, we feel are critical. And, you know, our mission is to fund things that are outside of the school curriculum, but you start to wonder, well, should this be outside of the school curriculum? Or should this actually, you know, be something that every student is learning, and why are they not? Why does it have to come through as a grant application? I mean, we're very fortunate in Yarmouth to have such great teachers who think of these things, who are out there listening to conferences about education and new things in education and bringing these forward. But I think that really, you know, the importance of giving the students these opportunities can't be ignored. The other thing I've learned is how somewhat political all of this can be. And so you have to be very diplomatic in how you interact with teachers and administrators and parents.
Well, explore that a little bit for me. Why such a need for diplomacy? What is it that so brings, I don't know, emotions to the surface, or strong thoughts about or feelings about the subject?
Well, in Yarmouth, people pay a high rate of tax, property tax, and so they're going into it already saying, well, we've already given a lot so that our children can go to this wonderful school system. The Yarmouth Education Foundation goes out and says, can you give a little more? So we're soliciting money in the community. Then we have to be really good stewards of this money and think very hard about how to give it back in the form of the grants that we make. And so you have teachers who come forward with applications, and I know, from my experience that being a teacher is very time consuming, and it's hard to prepare a nice grant application when you're teaching and grading papers and doing all these other things, not to mention you have your own family. And so sometimes a grant proposal comes to us that doesn't really fit into our mission. And when I say that, I mean it maybe is something that the school budget should cover, or maybe just the application wasn't, presented or written in such a way that it's convincing enough for our committee to want to fund it. And then the problem becomes, well, do you fund something that may or may not really fit into our mission, because you've told parents whose money you've taken that this is what you're going to do with it. But you, on the other hand, don't want to fund something. You have trouble saying no to a teacher because you don't want to have a chilling effect on them wanting to make applications.
So how do you handle that?
As diplomatically as you can. You have to, I find that just really being as transparent as possible is the only way that I can do it. So if something doesn't quite fit into our mission, I go right to the applicant and I say, if the committee wasn't able to approve this for funding, I say exactly why. And I say, we will look forward to hearing from you again. And we also want to help you. So if there are ways that, any of our board or committee members can assist you and kind of give you a little coaching in the grant writing piece, then we'd be happy to do that. Because it really is a relationship, and we depend on the teachers for their ideas for these grant proposals. So we want them on our side.
Do you feel supported by the administration?
Absolutely, yeah. Andrew Doloff is our new superintendent, and he has experience working with education foundations, I believe in Scarborough and Kennebunk, although don't quote me on that. And so he knows what our mission is, he knows how we operate, and we work very closely with him, and he's been wonderful to work with.
So for people who have wondered about what education foundations, what the main purpose is. It sounds like you've described a mission, a specific mission, mm-hmm. and vision for your organization. Elaborate a little bit on that for me with regard to just education in general and Yarmouth specifically.
So our mission is to support educational opportunities that enrich students' academic experience, but that fall outside of the school budget. That is our broad mission. We can do that in the form of supporting arts, languages, science, technology, math, biology. It can also be health. So, for instance, one grant application that came through a few years ago was an extremely well-researched and well-presented application about the value of clean water and hydration. And the applicant had done quite a bit of research about how dehydrated students don't perform as well, don't think as well. And so we granted, based on that, some new very modern water fountains that students can use to refill water bottles so that they're always hydrated and so that their learning experience is enhanced just generally. I forget what the question was, though. I apologize.
Well, I think you answered it, that what is the mission and the vision of the Education Foundation? So
yeah, it's broad and I would say fluid, and it's always exciting when we have our grant cycles and we see these applications come in because they're usually one or two that we never thought of. And they really are innovative and not what you're expecting, but are things that, you know, we really feel could make a difference. And so I would say that our mission is very similar to, I believe, most other education foundations in the state and out of the state in that sense.
One of the things that interests me most about education foundations is that I believe that although we have great teachers here in the state of Maine, I would say broadly, I think it tends to be a very specific way that we educate children, older children, even really adults, and it tends to be kind of linear and visual, some auditory. There's not so much kinesthetic. I think it's complicated because people have different learning styles across the board. I'm guessing that someone like you succeeded very well within the educational system because your learning style, you know, fit very well in as to how you were taught. So what I like about the Education Foundation is if you provide opportunities that are outside of what is normally done, then maybe you'll get a kid who, say, is more musically inclined. Maybe you'll get a kid who has a strong artistic sense and really resonates with the artist in residence. Maybe you'll get a kid who likes to stick his fingers in the mud and, you know, really learn more about the shellfish. So that, for me, feels really exciting.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that hopefully, you know, we get more and more grants that do that. I think that by and large, we have gotten a lot that offer those kinds of opportunities. You know, even just we had a pilot program, I think last year, of the stand-up desks, you know, that are increasingly popular at the workplace. There was a lot of research done about how students can really benefit from those as well. And just have a lot of students have a different way of being in the classroom and might need to move around just like adults do. And so we piloted a program for some stand-up desks, and I think that they've actually been working really well.
I also wonder if we start to think about education in a slightly different way, where it's not just that everybody has to go on to a university, everybody has to have an advanced degree, but as long as we get the type of educational background that we need to succeed in the world and feel happy, you know, maybe it's an expanded vocational experience or some other hands-on experience. I wonder if this can be something for the education foundations in our state to be considering.
I think that's a really good point, actually, especially nowadays when more and more people are starting to sort of make a determination, a cost-benefit analysis, before just immediately saying, I need to go to college and saying, well, what else is there out there for me? And so maybe it is more important to see the education, you know, K through 12 as one thing that isn't necessarily leading to the next, that you know what that's going to be. I will say that I think that the Yarmouth community and the Yarmouth school system and the teachers do a wonderful job teaching students not just the importance of academics, but how you treat others and how you interact with the world around you, and the importance of hard work and being a good citizen. I think that that is really a part of what Yarmouth is, and that's what I've seen with the teachers in the school system.
Well, that is a very good point to end on, and I completely agree with you. I absolutely have noticed that very same thing coming through with my brothers and sisters, my own children, myself. So yay. Good job, Yarmouth teachers and Maine teachers. I actually think Maine teachers in general, as I've said, are very good. I've been speaking with Gabe Weiss, who is the president of the Yarmouth Education Foundation, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enriching the overall educational experience of students in the Yarmouth School Department. For more information on the Yarmouth Education Foundation, visit our show notes page. Thanks for coming in today, Gabe.
Thank you for having me.